Hello, everybody, and welcome to the LEGIONPOD cast. I am Murray, and this week I am an agent of SHORTS. I am super happy, obviously, regarding Tiny Slacks.
Yes!
Because this was the week that the shorts I ordered arrived all at once. Three nice. Wonderful new pairs of shorts.
Woohoo!
That is a beautiful thing.
They are. Every single pair is beautiful. And the best part is that the wife and the kid look at them and go, oh, no, no, yeah. No.
I thought the best part was they could be seen from space.
Well, one of the pairs. You're not wrong.
That's right.
One pair absolutely can be. It's like pink, like super pink, like pink with, it's like definitely the space pair.
Pale Scarlet.
No, I'm going to go with pure pink.
So not Cosmic Boy pink, but like Saturn Girl bikini pink?
Oh, 100%.
Nice.
Yes. So that's me.
Very
I've got
nice.
My shorts, and I'm super excited.
It's always fun getting stuff in the mail. It's like, ooh, stuff arrived.
Right. There's something about that. Even when it's something you ordered and you know it's coming, it's just that whole idea that, ooh, there's something coming for me. Uh-huh. It's like it's a gift I got myself.
Yes.
Totally.
100%. Every time I see like a Purolator truck or a UPS truck in the neighborhood, it's always like, ooh, maybe there's something for me on that truck. There almost never is because I didn't order anything. But there's that hope. There's just that little bit of hope that maybe there's something in there. So Ella's going to start watching for them now because her birthday's coming up. So I know she's going to start working on it. But as you all listen to this, wait, carry the one. Yes, as you all listen to this, I am going to. I am sitting. I'm also wearing shorts, but nothing quite as bright as Murray's. I think I perhaps need to fix that. I need some shorts that clash with themselves.
There you go.
Yeah,
I can hook you up.
Yeah, exactly. You've got the source. But I am, probably hip deep in a lake with a beer in hand. Ooh. And actually, by the time you hear this, that'll be the day we're packing up to come home. But I will have been spending the entire week in such a way because I am an agent of vacation. I am verifiably actively craving a total interruption of nonsense.
Oh, perfect.
Nice. And so that is our plan. I think I mentioned before our summer rental that we thought was toast, never gonna happen. They called us and we're like, you know, we need to shave off a couple of days on either side of it, for which we will reimburse you. And but other than that, you're good to go. So we're going up there. My in-laws are going to come out for part of it, and then we have a few days on our own, and it's going to be awesome.
Wonderful.
Or will, by the time you hear this, will have been awesome. Will have been going to have been.
Let's
awesome.
Not get that started here, okay?
Oh, please.
Yeah, this
anyway,
is totally the present.
No one here is qualified for that.
What? It's not like it's rocket science.
Maybe, but we need a rocket scientist to deal with that.
Exactly. And that's what we usually do over there. So yes. You're right.
But
over
no,
to you,
oh,
sir.
But I was going to say, getting away. It's even if you're only going like an hour away. It's just not being home and not having to deal with any of your regular stuff.
The first time that, like, and I mean, you know, my girls have been in the house almost all the time. It will be their first time for being away from the house for more than a couple of hours. Like since March.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so yeah, it's, they're looking forward to it even more.
Yeah, just getting out of your routine. Even if you're doing like a staycation, it's not the same because you're still like, oh, well, there's the lawn and, oh, yeah,
gotta do some laundry.
And we got the regular life stuff. And
exactly.
Like, you get away,
that courier truck, is it bringing something for me?
Yeah. And now it's all like, nope, don't have to care. I just get to shut off.
Yeah.
Yes, it's nice. And speaking of trucks bringing things for people, so I didn't have to worry. I wasn't a part of this for a little while. I mean, I was, but I wasn't paying them. But I decided I need to re-up my service. So I am once again an agent of Apple, always pricing phones largely expensive.
Fantastic.
You are not wrong.
Because I did an upgrade on my phone last night. I mean, it's been like about a year or two since I paid it off, so it's not like I do it every time. It's, you know, every time one's paid, I don't buy another one, but I waited a bit. But I got the new SE, the second generation SE, so it's not the super expensive one. It's like less than, like, it's like $400 only as opposed to $1,000. And that should be arriving in the mail tomorrow.
Very nice. So I'll have lots of questions for you once you kind of have settled into it, because we made a deal with Ella if she got an A in math. So the Piper must be paid. So I will have questions for you about that one.
Like, damn, you did study. Why would you do that?
Yeah,
I didn't think you would study.
Wait a second. I've been homeschooling you for the past the past like 12 weeks. What the? I mean, my mark in math is really good.
Exactly, and that's why we don't report on home learning.
Yeah, and that's exactly why. Yes. Yeah.
I'm just looking forward. 128 gig on this one. I'm gonna fill that sucker up.
Yes, that sounds delightful.
I'm looking forward. New toy.
New toy.
That's
exactly.
Right. That's right. Wonderful. All right. Well, we are looking at Legion 89, number 6.
Yes.
I love this cover.
It's so good.
Yeah. The covers just get better and better. And I love that they are, you know, like, this is like, as we bridge the time between quote unquote iconic covers, or like story covers and quote unquote iconic covers.
Right.
And so for the most part, these are somewhat story based, but often, like the one with Lobo a couple of issues ago, where it's kind of, you know, spirit of the story as opposed to actual story.
And that's right. Fine too, though.
It totally is. Because at least it's related, right?
Yeah. Issue 5, the Lobo and Doc's, you know, the diabolical team, whatever they call it.
Yes.
Do we see that exact scene? No, but it basically is what happens in the issue.
And to me, yeah, you don't want to see a scene from this, like an exact scene from the story on the cover, because that's just not as fun. You know, like, think back to the classic Legion 294 cover with, right? Like, how freaking awesome was that?
Yeah.
And I mean, all, actually, I say that all of the covers in the Great Darkness Saga were possibly the best mix of iconic and story based, you know, where it wasn't something ripped from the story, but damn, did it tell you what to expect.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
But yeah, this one does the same thing. It's an idea what happens in the story, but it's not exactly.
Totally. I think it's your turn, isn't it, Al?
Yes, it is.
Awesome.
And speaking of the cover, so yeah, we have Strata standing over Larissa and an unconscious Garen Beck as he defending them from laser blasts.
Yes. And it's the only way to not have Beck whining.
Yes, unconscious.
That's right. Yeah. Take him out as soon as possible.
he's the Murdoch of this team.
Even if he got his wish, when he talked about Larissa, you know, being, you know, what he'd say, Larissa's nice. Even if something happened, he'd be whining throughout the whole entire thing.
Yeah. Totally.
But yeah, this is the only way. Knock him out. Give him that milk and go, no, it's okay. We're not flying.
I ain't getting in no airplane. Oh, wait, that was BA.
Murdoch is the one that would be flying the planes as he would
wake
up and go.
That's right. I totally called that wrong.
What are you doing, fool?
Exactly.
And of course,
Garen Beck, he's the fool.
Garen Beck is the fool. And as usual, this cover is by Kevin Maguire and Al Gordon. I don't want to know when they leave the covers, because I'm going to be very disappointed.
Yeah.
I mean, With the exception of, I know Darren Brereton does some, so those will be nice. But
totally, but very different, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's just, I guess one of the things is there's so much about it that is typically, Maguire, but Al Gordon just adds a weight to it. That you know what I mean? Like it isn't sort of the thin line of the Bwahaha league, but it just there's a certain weight to it that we've seen Gordon on Giffen, right? He's heavy with the inks, yeah. They're a really interesting match, and I would love to see sequential pages by the two of them, but I understand that maybe that's not a thing. But yeah, there's such a dynamism to Maguire's work always, and an expressiveness to it, and man, just Gordon just adds so much depth to it. It's just awesome.
And one nice thing I was thinking of is the fact that since we have Barry Kitson on the inside, this is not going to be a time where we have an amazing cover, and then you open up the issue and go, oh.
Okay. That'll come later.
Something to look forward to.
Indeed. Uh-huh.
So, speaking of Barry Kitson, yes, this issue is plot and breakdowns, Keith Giffen, script, Alan Grant, pencils, Barry Kitson, inker, Mark McKenna, colorist, Laverne Kinderski, the letterer is Gaspar, associate editor, Art Young, and editor is Karen Berger, and the story is Heroes and Villains. And we start off from what looks like a shop, as somebody was talking to one guy, is nervously talking, saying, you see, first you put one leg down one side, like till it comes out the bottom, then good grief, how did you possibly not know how to dress yourself?
There's an element to this that obviously reminds me of what we'll see soon with Roxas in the in 5 Year Later Legion, as he demolishes the tailor shop.
Yes.
But just that giving instructions on how to put pants on. That's just brilliant.
Weird mix of that and the Beyonder in Secret Wars 2 learning how to use the bathroom.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I'd forgotten about that. Oh, poor Jerry Carl Beyonder.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Barry, were you about to say something?
I was just going to say Giffen's fingerprints are all over this opening scene.
Totally. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's why we see it again, basically.
He likes this idea, obviously.
Yeah, totally.
And we now see that this guy who's holding up a pair of pants and explaining how they work is talking to the still naked... buck naked and buff as well. Very nice toned buttocks on him. Pulsar Stargrave, as he's trying to learn how to be human. As he says...
He's keeping that shit tight.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, being an android helps, I guess, in that regard.
It does, yes, exactly.
Nothing ever sags. As he says, that information was considered irrelevant to the functioning of this form. We did not foresee that we would have to leave Kolu. That we would have to pass, I'll bet temporarily, as a loathsome and detestable bioorganism. No, of course not. I mean, who does, right? As we can see, there are bodies all over this space department store. Question. Is aggression such as this the accepted mode of greeting amongst bipedal bioorganisms? No. But when you barge buck naked into a bar and start giving orders like you're king of the asteroids or something... Well, it ain't surprising some of the boys took it the wrong way.
And it's not even a tailor shop. Like, I thought it was
a bar.
At least he went to get clothes. But like the Terminator, right?
Yes, that's what I'm thinking. Give me your clothes and your bike. We have much to learn. You will teach us. I will? Yeah, I guess I will. There's so much irrelevant data input. So much trivia to evaluate. Very well, continue. Where will I start? I mean, exactly how much you got to learn? All facts pertinent to the behavior and lifestyle of a bioorganism. Everything? We have places to go, things to do, people to kill. I'll begin. We will be seeking another teacher. A live one. Hmm? Yes, sir. Everything you need to know coming right up.
Oh, my.
This is like skirting the edges of Bwahaha Justice League. Like,
it really is, yeah.
Coming right up to the line and then pulling away.
But to be fair, if you think about it, since the crisis, there hasn't been a lot of stuff that has taken place in space, right?
Save for
some of the events like Giffen kind of got, and it's interesting because, of course, this would happen years later too. But at the time, he kind of got to play around with, this is what DC Cosmic is.
Totally.
Oh, right? Sure. Because he was the only one doing anything in it. Because
we had, we had Invasion, obviously.
Yeah.
And we had Millennium. But, I mean, wasn't Green Lantern at this point on Earth? And that's it. There was no more Green Lantern Corps. So it's not like we had that series going on in space.
And I think that we're in a Green Lantern lull here anyway. Because, maybe the Corps.
Well, by this point, I think the series has ended.
Yeah, but was it 1990 that the Broderick and the, like when they would do like the three issues of Hal, three issues of Guy, three issues of John. Maybe that was around here, like Emerald Dawn, basically.
Yeah, but there was no ongoing in current continuity space series, really.
Yeah, you're right. And you're right that it was a while before they started up the core again. So, yeah, we've got very little happening cosmically. Like Giffen's been breaking out there in Justice League, and space has been pretty goofy. So, you know, when left to his own devices, Giffen's like, I'm going to make space really goofy. And I got to admit, I kind of like it because I like the I like sort of the humor along with kind of the, you know, hey, I mean, let's be real. We're looking at jokes here as there is a blood spattered wall. So it's not entirely bwahaha, but it's, you know, it's bwah at the very least.
Well, yeah, it's not bwahaha, but it's like action adventure movie with some comedy. Like I was actually.
Good point.
I'm thinking of The Mummy. The Brendan Fraser one?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
I'm thinking of the little guy, Benny, who's like, the mummy's coming out of him. He's pulling out every religious trinket. Everything. And then the mummy's like, oh, wait, you speak the language of my slaves. You can work for me. Okay. That's this guy right here. He's like, all right, but it's better than dying.
Yeah.
So it's that kind of thing. You know, that wasn't that's not a comedy movie, but it has comedy. You know, it has some laughter in it. It has jokes. Totally. And I think that's kind of what they're going for here. You know, action, adventure, with some, you know, laughter.
Yeah.
Yes.
Totally. And it works. I mean, that's the most important part is that it just works.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So now this guy is definitely on board with helping him because he prefers to stay alive. Let's see now. Shirts. Yeah, shirts. They're very important. And socks. Y'all need socks. Everybody needs socks. And as we pull out from this bar, we can hear him say, no, the big hole is for your head. And the sock goes on your foot.
Red hot chili peppering.
Yeah. I have had the other part of the conversation with my kids in the past. No, Sarah. That's the sleeve. I am that animated GIF of Nathan Fillion doing that.
And now we go out to space, and we see a ship above the planet Karen, and we see the caption telling us, "Villain, person guilty or capable of great wickedness." Pocket Oxford Dictionary. You see, Doc's only pretended to send Lobo down to assassinate Canis Biz. As soon as you four left for the Biz estate, Dox and Lobo shuttled down to Zalman City, where Lobo persuaded the majority of the city police to switch their allegiance. Dox installed himself as their chief commissioner. And now we're inside Canis and Biz's home, and we can see it's the Derlin talking to Strata, Stealth, Larissa, and Garen. As he continues, as far as I'm aware, their ploy was entirely successful. They run Zalman City now. And Larissa's shocked. By the shadows of the elders, the man is deranged. He doesn't know when to stop. He suckered us again. Whines Garen. And the Dolin continues, and their first action as such is to be an all-out assault on Canis Biz. Can docks get away with this, Garen? Can fish swim? The cops on Karn aren't considered to be that important. Dox just promoted himself in the most time-honored manner. The Earl continues, and Lobo, of course, will ensure he's obeyed, at least long enough for him to win the loyalty of those police still untainted by corruption. And Strahd is there just going, what a guy! And now Larissa wants to know, so why are you telling us this, Durlin? I must say, I find your sudden change of heart suspicious. My debt to Dox is paid. I can no more allow myself to stand by while he runs amok than you can, Larissa Maller. And then Stealth now asks you to get her words in. Stand by? You helped the creep, pal. Every time Dox whistled, you jumped. I don't buy the about face either, but try any more of your tricks and you got me on your case. Bleep.
Yeah, that has an effect on him. And it's interesting because I haven't really seen fear out of the Durlin yet.
But yeah, here, obviously.
Yeah. So again, like, there's something about Stealth that kind of engenders this. And we're going to see more, of course. But
yeah, despite the fact that she just looks like a, kind of orangish skinned human.
Yeah. Yeah, very, very humanoid, but it's just there's a real sense from everybody that they're like, we don't know what the hell her deal is.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny coming from the one alien in this group who is the most alien, obviously. I mean, he's
totally
just wearing,
yeah.
All we see of him is the cloak and like a couple tentacles coming out of the front, and that's it.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's the one going, she's weird.
Totally.
Yeah, when the weirdo is telling everyone you're weird.
Exactly.
When Gonzo's looking at you going, what the hell's wrong with this guy?
Yeah,
what is
yeah.
What's wrong with that guy? And Larissa, of course, ever the hero, says, there's no other way. We'll have to warn Biz. Damn Virtle Docs for putting me in a position of helping scum like Biz. And as Stealth and Larissa are walking out, Garen's talking to the Durlin. Hey, Stealth really spooked you, didn't she? Relax, she wouldn't have attacked you. I am always repulsed by life forms as totally alien as it, as she is. It's almost impossible for me to scan her. I could never properly duplicate her.
Yeah, interesting. And also it gives us some insight, like, so he says I could never scan her, so I couldn't transform into her.
Yeah.
That's not the way we're familiar with
shapeshifting.
Yeah. So that's really interesting. It's like when they added that limitation to Nightcrawler, where it's like he could only teleport places he could see.
Yeah.
And this is an interesting thing. So you know, we look at Chameleon Boy's antenna, and do they scan the object, and then he basically, once he has scanned it at some point, it's kind of in the repertoire.
He can do it. It's not like Mystique, who could just turn into what looks like Stealth.
Yes.
And maybe I guess that's why Cam could do things like fly. Drillings could do things like fly or breathe underwater when they turn into a fish. Because I guess they're actually turning into that thing, as opposed to, I guess, like Mystique, where she probably could not swim underwater, as far as I know, or fly.
She
could look like
Angel,
but she doesn't have flying wings.
The idea that if they have scanned it, they are duplicating it internally as well, so that they are equipped with gills.
Yeah, which also gives him a way to make him stronger when he takes on the form of a strong thing, as opposed to, you know, as opposed to like somebody else who would just have their own natural strength still.
And they've gone back and forth on that many times, right? Like they've said, no, he can't do that. And then they've had him do that.
Yeah. Depending on the needs of the story.
Exactly.
And what the writers remember.
Good point.
And so now we're walking out the door and we see Larissa and Stealth talking to, what was that guy's name again? Muscles?
I think so. It was something very...
Bruiser? whatever. It's Kenneth's butler.
Yeah.
His his thuggy his thuggy Jarvis.
Yeah.
Thuggy Jarvis, yes.
We must see Kenneth Biz at once. And meanwhile, we still have Beck and the Darling continuing their conversation. What are you saying here? That stealth is alien. Very alien. That's all. Sorry, madam, but the boss is in secret session. It's more than my job's worth to disturb him. Not to mention my personal physical well-being. But you don't understand. This is urgent. A matter of life and death. And it
His name is Knuckles.
Knuckles.
That's right. Yeah. Knuckles.
Oh. Yeah, Thug Jarvis, Dobie Dickles, third cousin, twice removed. Potato, potato.
Yeah.
Ain't it always? Look, if Madam would care to tell me what's a drug, I can get the dispenser to slip you another shot. My drug? Why you? And then we have a big badoom behind them. Huh?
Oh, wrong shot.
I'll allow it.
All right, good. Please, continue.
If Madam would be so kind as to excuse me, I think there's somebody at the door. Too late, Larissa. Looks like Doc's raiding party has already started. It's party time! Can't you take anything seriously? Oh, what's the use? And we go outside and we see a whole bunch of police ships attacking and blasting Candace Biz's house. Or mansion or estate.
Whatever. Compound, whatever it is, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's a compound at this point. This is Inspector Noble to all Zaman City cop units. You heard Chief Dox's briefing. Any deserters answer to me. Any cowards answer to me. Any traitors answer to me. You got numbers on your side. You got right on your side. And best of all, you got me on your side. Now get in there and frag those drug-dealing bastards. Hey, if I have to have Lobo on a side, I'd rather be on mine.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, totally.
And we're seeing little, miniature dog fights between the cops and Candace Biz's men in their ships. For the first time in the history of Planet Cairn, a city police force has launched an attack on a drug lord. They're inexperienced. They're frightened and they're reluctant. But they're winning. Throw down your weapons. You're all under arrest. 1,000 credits for every cop you kill. Show the suckers they should have stuck to taking bribes. As the cops are pulling out, and we have fighting and blasting going on. Some fight. Holy, whose idea of tactics was this? I don't know, but I think I get seriously into it. Blow the scumbags away! And then we see some run. Come on, we'll worry about Lobo when he finds us. Yeah! As a couple of them run away from the back, run away, while the rest are kind of forcing their way up to fight. Out of the way, I can't get a shot in. Stop pushing at the back there. Some die. Ah! Oh, Lord, I give up. But
doesn't this all take on new meaning now?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, just this idea of people rebelling against a corrupt police department, just very, very, very timely, it seems.
Uh-huh.
Yes, except in this instance, of course, it's corrupt against corrupt, basically.
Yeah.
Totally true. And good point.
But sheer weight of numbers pushes them on. They're falling back. And as one of them is knocking out one of the criminals, says, "Sorry about this, but Lobo flay me if I didn't." Don't let up. Take them all the way. This ain't fair. We paid our bribes. We're legal. Gotta love their version of legal.
I love that. Yeah, exactly.
And we have our five main characters standing around the hallway. Sounds like a system war going on out there. Oh, Grok, Candace Biz will think we set him up. We've got to get out of here. But Stealth is looking the other way, telling them, guys, as Lobo shows up. Well, what are you jerks standing around for? Seize the moment, peoples, and the place to boot. Lobo. The deceit is Dox's, and the fight is too. We'll have no more part of it. Suit yourself, champ. Me? I'm a good little soldier. I follow orders. I'll take the dump myself. And, of course, now that he has numbers on his side, Beck is brave again. Because he's standing behind Marissa. Lobo, you dirty backstabbing murderer. My, oh my, the wedgehead wimp. You and Dox are two of a kind. Killers, perverted maniacs, playing games with other people's lives. Oh, hurt me, sweet thing. Right. That does it. And in a panel that, for, I'm guessing, probably confused everyone when they were told to draw this. They're like, are you sure? Garen Beck punches Lobo down. Eat knuckles, Grockbucker.
And he goes over, grabs Candace Biz's butler, and starts chomping. No.
Not smart, Reggie, as Beck now realizes what he's actually done. You can't kill me. Remember your contract? Sorry? The contract says nothing about crippling you. You're gonna learn. Nobody strikes Lobo. And Strata goes, no, and steps in the way, so Lobo just basically launches himself into Strata's crotch. And true. Just kind of think of what happened when Deadpool punched Colossus there in the Deadpool movie, except it's the Lobo's face.
Yes. I just watched that last week, so I know what you mean.
There we go. You got that reference.
Yes. Now I am the animated GIF of Captain America.
As he try to picks back up by his shirt to, you know, raise him above Lobo's head. Attack one of us, you attack all of us. Thanks, Strata, you're a brick. I thought we got this one-for-all crap sorted out back on Kolu. Obviously not. Oh, well, time's a-wasting. Come on, let's boogie. Nice go. And Stealth is thrilled with this. Nice going, Rockpile. You ever think of becoming a diplomat when you grow up? Don't make us do this, Lobo. Flee, Garen, we'll hold him back. Oh, Grock, be careful, Larissa. Don't let him hurt you. As Beck runs away. And Larissa thinks, hurt? Kill, more likely. How many times I gotta tell you, bozos, this ain't your fight. Stay healthy. Stay out of it. As he throws Stealth into Larissa. And meanwhile, the Durlan turns into some kind of demon-looking thing. Brawn and power seem to be the only things that mean much to you, Lobo. Let us see how you like them used against you. As he grabs Lobo from behind to restrain him. Ooh, help Mama, Papa. Now I'm really worried. Listen, Calface, way I see it, the bigger they come. Oh, no, I did miss a page.
And no, while we he'll come back to that. He'll finish his sentence in like a scene or two.
Okay.
It's weird. It's a weird transition.
I switched page because the next page is back to the fighting.
Yeah,
outside.
Yeah, totally.
I was like, wait, did I miss a page?
No.
But yeah, we're back to the cops attacking. Hell, they close off the stairs. Never mind, get up after them as they're climbing up the wall. Or would you rather have Lobo coming after you? I'm climbing! For law and order and fear of Lobo! There's too many of them. Fall back! Get ready to seal the doors! And the cops realize, we're winning! I don't believe it! We're winning! And we're watching that now on a monitor screen as somebody's saying, I gotta admit, you're one slick operator. And it's Kenneth Biz watching this on his monitor.
Mm-hmm.
You set up a meet, you come into my home, eat my food, assure me how sincere you are. Then you pull heat on me, and you set some bunch of Yahoo cops to raid my estate. Yeah, you're a real pip, real Docs, because Docs is holding a gun on him.
Yeah.
I knew you want to reach an agreement with the new chief of police, Biz. Now it's just you and me, locked up in here. And the gun, of course. So, what's your angle? What the hell is there in this for you? You'd never even begin to understand. Look, exactly what we got here. I can't call for help without being shot. You can't leave without being shot. I'd say we got us a stalemate, boy. I don't think so. Just watch the screen. And we're back to watching the cops. And I think these were the two cops that we saw in the flyer last issue. The two honest cops. The older guy.
Yeah,
and the
you're
younger
right. No, they totally yeah. are. Absolutely.
And I'm going to be looking for them. I wonder if we're going to see them again in future yeah. issues. We're going to get names. As they're standing behind
fancy.
As they're standing behind a wall while the criminals are shooting past them. That's our way in. You sure you're up for this? Even if I wasn't, I'd still go ahead. For the first time in my life, I feel like I'm a real cop, you know? Good for you, kid. You'll make the grade. Sure, Sarge, if we survive. So come on. Let's whip up a little respect for the law around here as they jump out blasting and kill all the guys. Consider it whipped, sir. And now we're back to the fight of Lobo and the Heroic Five, or, well, Heroic Four and Beck. as he grabs a Derlin and shoves his face into the wall. The harder they fall. Hang on, Derlin Will. Now just y'all hang that 10 there, team. Ask yourself this simple question. Is Wedgehead Beck really worth dying for? And Larissa responds, Garrett is our friend. It is our duty to protect him, whatever the personal cost. And Strata agrees, I can't argue with that, unfortunately. And Stealth takes a slightly different approach. Screw Beck! You gonna talk us to death, Wolf Boy, or do we get to taste blood? Wolf Boy? Wolf Boy? I don't think he
likes that. He doesn't like that.
Meanwhile, Garen's running around, aimlessly trying to find a way out. Oh, Grok, I hope he doesn't hurt them. But if he gets past them, this place is like a maze. There must be 100 rooms I can hide in, as he apparently opens the door into the main fight, as everyone's blasting and shooting and strangling each other. Excuse me. Closes the door. I'll find someplace else. And then, oh my, Grok, as Lobo, Strata, and Larissa come crashing through the wall next to him. Well, 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 Becky, run for it, Garen! As he actually goes into that room with all the fighting. Come back here, you festering son of a space slug. Excuse me, sorry, beg pardon, trying to, you know, politely push his way through the fighting mob. Lobo goes through them a little less gentle. Get out of my fraggin' way! Knocks everyone down. No, 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 please don't. Hinder him as much as you possibly can. I have to say, as much as annoying he is, Beck is amusing when he's in danger.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
This is where the comedy's coming from now. It's just, it's all, it's Garen. She, as the others, as now we have, I haven't seen Derlin. I guess he's still unconscious. Because we have Strata, Stealth, and, yeah, Larissa. Sheesh, wall-to-wall combat. Sorry, I just couldn't hold him. Come on, it's imperative we get through. As Strata decides to basically play Andre the Giant and Princess Bride. Clear the way! Rescue team on the job! Ah! Hey, ow! They must be on business payroll. Bring them down! As Strata gets shot in the chest. Strata! I'll be okay. I'm only chipped. Strata's losing more of the rock.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Meanwhile, Stealth is punching cops out now. Hey, I can't handle them all on my own. That doesn't include you, sucker, as she knocks some guy out. But now Lobo has caught up to Beck. Running's only made it worse, Wedgie. I don't like wimps that run. Always made me wonder what I could do to slow him down. And we're back to Candace Biz and Docs having their negotiation. Yep. This is getting us nowhere, Docs. So your guys is beating up my guys. Big deal. Next time out, it'll be our turn. We're men of the world. We can come to some sort of mutual agreement. No deals, Biz. Watch the screen. And Biz looks over and realizes, Lobo? You got Lobo on your payroll? Nobody messes with that dude. Hell, man, why don't you just say so up front? Why allow all this fighting and killing? My men need the experience. They must be seasoned in combat. Seasoned? My Grok, you're crazy. To become effective, they need to feel that this victory is theirs. That way, they will rally willingly around me. Karen is going to be changing Candace Biz. The day of the drug lord is over. The law has come. I have come. Now, I believe you are about to surrender. And we see now an announcement coming up on the speakers. This is Candace Biz to all employees. Lay down your weapons. We're surrendering. Go quietly and don't give the cops no trouble. They got orders to execute troublemakers, so bear that in mind, boys. Don't worry, though. I expect to be straightening out the whole misunderstanding in the very near future. And we got the cops walking some of their prisoners away, and the prisoners asking, shoot, you guys must be air brains. Why don't you just keep taking the bribes? Believe me, pal, I'd be happy to, but the new chief didn't see things in the same light.
I'm very interested in the fact that they're all wearing a pink triangle.
Yeah. That's
true, yeah.
It's a really interesting thing, and I didn't know this until Darren pointed out a little while ago. The idea of the pink triangle was something that the Nazis put on gays to to basically single them out. It's a very interesting thing to choose to put on the Karen Police Department. And, you know, to me, I'm not sure what the choice was behind that.
Yeah. No, I did see him.
It's weird.
I saw him put a post about that's why they brought up, they have the flag, the rainbow flag now. It replaced the pink triangle.
Yeah, because yeah.
It's like, let's have something of our own instead of using a symbol that was forced on us.
Totally, totally. So yeah, that's an interesting choice. But again, and I'm going to get into sort of some context of the time. But yeah, it's just weird.
And so we're back to seeing our Strata, Stealth, Lursa, and Beck. As Beck is laying there whining, Lursa is there. Easy, Garen. I called for medics. They'll be right with you. He's broken my legs. Oh, my God. It hurts, Lursa. It hurts. It hurts.
There's the Beck we know and love.
That's it. Exactly.
There's the Beck we know, at least. As Stealth basically points out, geez, what a whine. I mean, it's not like they won't knit. Have a heart, Stealth. I just hope Doc shows up fast. I don't know how much longer the Durlan can hold him. And the Durlan basically looks like a blob, looks like the blob with Lobo in the middle.
Yes.
Not long enough, Rocky. I'll carve your epitaph on your friggin' chest. And Larissa's a little pissed. Docs will pay for this. By the moons of Talok, I swear it. Though we are partly to blame. We are? Yes, we let him get away with it all the way down the line. We should have made a stand. Oh, naughty us. And then we have one of the cops show up. Ah, you must be the group the chief had working on the inside. Guess we must be. What of it? This is a great day for the Zalman City Police Force. The new chief is truly a godsend. A veritable hero. You must be very proud of him. Hero. Proud. As Larissa's icicles are coming off her word balloons. Why, yes. He's turned this whole force around 180 degrees. For the first time ever, we have a little self-respect. Chief Docs gave us that. We're real law enforcers now, not drug lord puppets. Oh, I know a lot of us deserted after the bus went down, but we'll soon fill out the ranks. There are more decent people in Cairn than you think. And when they realize that Chief Docs himself will be leading us, well, let's just say we're expecting heavy recruitment. As Strata sighs and... Stealth is just laughing at this. And Laura says, had as much as she could take. No! Curse you to hell, Vril Docs. Garen was right. You're a perverted, a maniac. When I get my hand on you, go sick him, Shady. Was it something I said? Yeah, it was everything you said. As Strata walks away, thinking, dozens dead, hundreds wounded, all to make a wild dream come true. Just how far are you willing to go, Vril Docs? How far are you willing to go? As we are back in the room with Docs and the late Canis Biz.
Yes.
Has developed a large hole in the middle of his forehead.
Totally.
And I guess he does feel like he doesn't need it anymore because Docs is putting his gun away now. Hmm.
Yeah. And that smile on his face, it's not even like a grim, oh, I did what I had to do. It's like,
you're right. There's, yeah, that's an interesting expression.
You know what I'm thinking of now? Because it's what you said earlier. That smile says, I love it when a plan comes together.
Oh, right? It's all the A-team. It all comes back to the A-team.
There you go.
And the issue ends telling us the definition of hero. Men admired for great deeds and noble qualities. Illustrious fighter. Pocket Oxford Dictionary. Next issue, blood will out.
I think the blood's already out. It's out all over the chair there.
It's all moving very quickly to get to its space. I mean, he has changed that world. And now it is going to be... And it's interesting because... There are some people who are like, oh, you know, fascistic police department. And others that are like, no, this is cool. We're good. That's going to be an interesting way to come out. Just to give some context to the time. So July of 1989, we had Batman became the first movie or the fastest movie to move to 100 million in 10 days. That would be eclipsed much, not that many years after it. But hey, Batman was the first to sort of break that.
I hope that.
Yeah, me too. I helped the hell out of that. Starting at midnight on the release day. in other things in pop culture, we lost Rebecca Schaefer from My Sister Sam. She was shot by a deranged fan.
Right.
Yeah. Laurence Olivier died that month. Mel Blanc, of course, best known as Bugs Bunny, Elmer Fudd, and Porky Pig, died at the age of 81.
Wow, I didn't realize he died that long ago.
I know, right? Yeah, seriously. Also, Thurston Howell III died at the age of 76 on July 3rd. Oh. So as this episode, well, not this episode, but I can't remember. Wibbly wobbly timey wimey. Let's see. Now onto better things. Let's see here. Who was born? Hey, July 23rd, Daniel Radcliffe, Harry Potter. So he was born July 23rd of 1989. I don't want to think of how old I was at the time.
20. I was 20.
And let's see here. Anything time. Else that I've got?
I was 13.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is why I didn't want to do that math.
I was almost 14.
Let's see here. Anything else that I can find that kind of relates? A lot of sports stuff on this site.
The sports ball happened. Yay.
Yes, there was lots of sports balling. Anyway, so those are the kind of the main things. I think the Batman thing was kind of a big deal. Because I'm looking at it in July 17th. Paul McCartney releases this one. It's like, I'm a big Paul McCartney fan, and I have no idea what that is.
The classic, obviously.
Yeah, right? Yeah, stood the test of time.
Totally.
And you know, I mean, remember how transformative a year 1989 was? You know, we would see the eventual tearing down of the wall, but that was months later. Here we go. July 5th, Seinfeld screened its pilot episode.
Oh, wow.
Exactly. La, la, la. And I think that's all I got. So anyway, just again, to put it in context, like, you know, things like I was listening to a thing earlier today where they talked about when Frank Sinatra died. And Sinatra died the same day as the finale of Seinfeld aired.
Really?
And so it had me thinking about that. And then to realize that it started, you know, 9 years earlier, this month as well. It's just kind of an interesting thing for it to come up twice in a day.
Wow. And
yeah. So anyway,
Sinatra
so there we
was
go.
Like, "No more Seinfeld. I cannot go on."
Yeah, he was like, "I'm done. I was holding out until the show ended. Now I'm out.
I can die satisfied." That's right.
Exactly.
Well, here's what DC was up to, because their publishorial is kind of interesting. They talk, Jeanette Kahn is talking about this new little imprint that they're going to start up, which is for they're more, it's an imprint for comics that DC wouldn't normally publish. It's got a more indie feel. And I'm reading through this going, oh, they're talking about Vertigo. Oh, nope. No, they're not.
No, because we weren't there for another few years. Were we?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Vertigo's so like, what, 92, 93?
It's a few years down the way. So yeah, I'm going, well, what are
I
they
think
talking
it was 93,
about?
Yeah.
And it was...
Is it Piranha?
Yeah, Piranha Press.
Oh, yes.
And I don't think it lasted long, but it was probably paving the way for what would become Vertigo.
Didn't what's that movie, the comic based movie that Tom Hanks was in? He plays the mobster. Wasn't that a Piranha Press book?
Road to Perdition. It was it was one of the it was Paradox Press.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so Paradox Press came out around the same time as Vertigo, like both in 1993. And and I think like it started with like Andy Helfer was in charge of that. And then later Heidi McDonald actually took it over. Mm-hmm. At least. So it lasted 7 years. But it was preceded by Piranha Press, which ran from 1989 to 1994. And,
yep, I'm looking up too. Huh, that's longer than I thought.
Totally, totally. And I thought these things were kind of in and out. But some great examples of Piranha Press were Kyle Baker's Why I Hate Saturn. Mark Kempel did Gregory. There was Sam Keith and William Mester Loebs did Epicurious the Sage. There was also a one-shot about Prince and the New Power Generation. And that was actually their last published thing. It says here, that's weird. It says here... 1989 to 1994. Yeah, that's 5 years. Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
Now, I remember, I was trying to think, like, remember there was, like, the big book of conspiracies and the...
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too, but I guess maybe that was Paradox.
That's probably Paradox. You're right. Yeah. Yeah, for some reason, I always thought that was, and I have a couple of them downstairs, but I had just assumed that they were... Hey, Understanding Comics came out from Paradox Press.
Huh.
Like, you know, Scott McCloud's Understanding Comics. That's wild. I didn't realize that. So the big book, they had the big Paradox Press. Wait. Okay, now I'm talking
big
about
book
that we're
conspiracies.
Not
I'm looking at the cover, says Factoid Books.
Yeah.
So I guess
now it does. Now it does.
DC, though, right?
Paradox it was Press. It was a Paradox Press.
It was a Paradox DC?
Yeah,
because
that stuff, like, Bill Alger worked on a ton of those books. And, like, they would have, like, the big books, like the big book of the 70s and the big book of the conspiracies and all that kind of stuff. A whole bunch of artists worked on them, but I know Bill Alger did a few pages in a bunch of those.
Because
I remember talking to him about this years ago.
So I'm looking up now. Granted, it's Wikipedia. But it says Paradox Press was the division of DC Comics formed in 1993 after editor Mark Nevelo departed from Piranha Press. Under the initial editorship of Andrew Helfer and Roman Carlton, the imprint was renamed.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
It is best known for graphic novels like A History of Violence and Road to Perdition.
Yeah. Yeah. And so Piranha before that was the other stuff, but it led to that. And it's interesting. Other ones that were included was Fast Forward, which was kind of an anthology that Helfer edited, and Morrison, Baker, Messner Loebs all contributed to it.
Gone. The little the little Tyrannosaurus Rex dinosaur that did a couple of his books. The Bogeyman, which I had that, I think. It was like an escapee from a mental institution who thought he was Bogart. Or actually thought he was Bogart as a detective.
Right, but that was when it became, that was after it became Paradox, correct?
Yeah, that's Paradox. I'm looking at the Paradox stuff, yeah.
Yeah. It's very confusing. And you know, it's funny because you're right, I've always conflated the two. And now that makes sense because one evolved into the other, basically.
Yeah, it's like calling early Sandman Vertigo.
Good point. Yeah, or Swamp Thing. Yeah, same thing.
Or Morrison's Doom Patrol. None of, you know, Morrison's Doom Patrol was not Vertigo, but basically, yeah, it's Vertigo.
You're right, but it's always been considered that because even when they released it in trade, they released it as Vertigo, even though it wasn't until Rachel Pollack came along that
it was Vertigo.
Was a thing. Yeah,
because it's like
good point.
It's like calling Alan Moore Swamp Thing Vertigo. It's not Vertigo, but basically, yeah, that's the reason. Those are the reasons that it is Vertigo. So
yeah, totally.
Oh yeah, Stuck Rubber Baby, Understanding Comics, and Reinventing Comics, or Paradox.
That's wild. I didn't realize that. I honestly always thought that those were, and I think my copies of them are probably long past these. They're probably whatever he publishes them under now. And
right,
you know, But yeah, it's crazy. So this is a point at which we were also seeing comics change, right? Like we had seen, we were kind of in the thick of, I think Rick Veitch was writing Swamp Thing at this point, because an invasion crossover in that. And of course, Sandman started this year.
Yeah.
Right. So it was a time of big change. And so the idea of them responding to the interest of alternative comics was a smart move for sure.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, yeah.
Many that were seen under the aegis of Jeanette Kahn with Paul Levitz.
Yeah. Sandman came out about the same time as Legion, because it's on issue 7 right now. And this one is on issue 6.
Wow, that's amazing. So we were just a month away from the death issue.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
They lasted about the same amount of time, because didn't Sandman go to 75?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think it ended up being a slight bit later, because there had been some delays in there, but not far off.
Yeah, roughly.
Yeah. Yeah, not far off at all. Yeah, good point. I hadn't thought of it that way.
0 Hour screwed up more titles than we thought.
Totally. 0 Hour took out Sandman. Boom.
All of a sudden he was fighting Conduit. Conduit, that was the name. I was trying to remember that. This ridiculous, old pal of or old foe of Clark Kent's in Smallville, and he became Conduit. Oh, this is going to be a big villain. He's going to be around forever. Oh, he's gone.
Never mind.
Exactly.
Alrighty. Well, I think we have exhausted this issue.
Indeed.
Yep.
From cover to cover. So. Oh, the only other thing, though, and I forgot about this little... The next issue blurb is intriguing, because it says, a member of the team dies, and a fellow teammate is the killer. Ha! Figure that one out. I dare ya.
Uh-huh.
And I have no memory of that at all.
Oh, wait until you see it. When you see it, you'll be like, oh, right.
Oh, that's what they meant. Yeah.
As soon as you see the cover, you're going to be like, oh, yeah.
That, okay. Yes. Yeah, it all makes sense.
Alrighty.
It all leads into Rebels.
It does, eventually. Yeah, you're right. Good point. Oh, man.
Alrighty. There we go. That is issue 6 in the books.
All right. Yay. If y'all have questions or comments, you can send them to legionofsubstitutepodcasters@gmail.com. You can also head over to that website. And there is an LEGION tag that you can hit, and where you'll just see these episodes. But you can comment on these episodes there. So just go there, look for this episode, leave a comment, and we would love to hear from you.
Totally.
Come on, David.
Yes.
All righty. We will see you all next WEEK. We'll be right back.